No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
DC politicians want to enact harmful credit card mandates that could take away your cash back and rewards points. Perks that stretch your budget and make life a little easier. Losing these benefits means less money for your family's everyday essentials like gas and groceries. The perks you rely on could disappear, leaving you with higher costs and fewer options. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and it's time for this week's matchups for the Ravens offense in their Week 9 game at Miami this Thursday night coming up. Short week. There's not a lot of time, we understand, to listen to this episode, but as always, I'm joined by my co-host and friend, Frazier Tafar. Frazier, how you doing?
Doing good, Ken. Glad to be back on for the defensive show. The offensive show. Had a good defensive show going over if we'll see Nate Wiggins go against Waddle and if he'll be effective. Being more physical at the point of attack. And then also if the Ravens can be more effective against short pass game and the screen game of the Miami Dolphins, who rely heavily on that with a short quarterback like Tua.
Yeah, Dolphins have a very weak interior line in terms of pass blocking. And that was something that Frazier brought up, was it was, can the Ravens find a way to exploit that with, frankly, some not particularly great interior pass rushers. So this could be a game where Travis Jones has some opportunities, or any of the nose tackles has to make use of one-on-one bull rush opportunities, or they may have to stunt or even blitz to bomb the A-gaps and get right in there in the weakness of the Dolphins pass blocking. Their tackles aren't particularly good either. They're not setting the world on fire, but their interior pass blockers are terrible. Sabe Naya and Strange in particular have graded out very poorly so far this year. And the third guy's Aaron Brewer, who's really more of a run blocking specialist at center. So good points made there. Anyway, give that show a chance if you will, and we'll move over to the offense and start us off, Frazier.
Yep. First matchup I have this week is the Ravens running backs versus the Dolphins inside linebackers. This past week they had an effective run game, really obviously led by Derrick Henry, but showcased Keaton Mitchell a lot this week. He had a really nice run to the edge on a toss that basically no blocking was needed. He just outran everyone's angle. So I would love to see that continuation. I mean, he did that against a guy like Edmonds, who's one of the more notable linebackers in the league. I mean, he's not Roquan Smith or Fred Warner, but he's right underneath the tier. So his speed is something else. Derrick Henry with the physicality. I think if we're able to really attack downhill initially, we can get those linebackers moving forward. And then as they get more antsy to anticipate stopping Derrick Henry, that's when we show them Keaton Mitchell, those sidecar runs going on the sweeps.
He certainly is a huge outside threat. And I'm going to go much deeper into the run game, but let's just talk about Mitchell and what happened this last week. They ran two counter plays where he ran counter to the counter. So the two-man pull went left, he ran right. The two-man pull went right, he went left. Is going to the open side of the field, thoroughly middle-fingering opposing defenses in terms of what they, you know, where they have the numbers to stop you. Keaton Mitchell erased some of those numbers. I pity the defensive coordinators who now watch this, the advanced scouts who watch this tape over the next few weeks and figure out how the hell do we stop Keaton Mitchell when he's on the field?
Yeah.
And it's a great opportunity for the Ravens to deal with that. And this is a game where Derrick Henry should be good as well. And I'm just going to jump into my second point here because I think it addresses some of these issues. Mine is the Ravens run game versus the Miami front seven. This is the first time all year that the Ravens will have all of the following: Lamar healthy, Derrick Henry healthy. They've had both of those things before. Keaton Mitchell on the field, we hope, we assume. You know, the Ravens do have to find a bunch of inactives, and they also are going to probably bump some guys from the practice squad. But I still would bet pretty heavily that Mitchell will be active this week after what he did last week. I mean, Ali was active. I mean, he'd be the last ditch deactivation.
Yeah,
they just couldn't deal with it. But anyway, then they had Mitchell. And I don't even know, they've never had those three together where they've really used them so far.
Yeah.
They did finally activate Mitchell, but they haven't really used the three together. And then the fourth is Patrick Ricard. And they had 14 snaps out of him. Those were the first 14 snaps he's played all year. But this is an option. This is a opportunity to thoroughly reestablish several components of the Ravens' run game. And the first big one is misdirection as the biggest weapon to create those level two first contact opportunities I always talk about on the defensive show or the offensive show. Have to find a way to get a back like Derrick Henry to have his first contact be against a linebacker, a safety, or a corner. If he's not a front five defender, then Derrick Henry is going to eat that guy's lunch in general, and you're going to be very happy with the results. I don't think the Ravens need to be afraid to play point of attack football in this game. I don't particularly like running into an eight-man box. And Patrick Ricard, when he's on the field, particularly with Derrick Henry, is typically going to create a eight-man box situation. So they're going to be in a base defense. They're going to find a way to cheat a safety up. That should give you other opportunities in the passing game. That should create other opportunities in the passing game. Mitchell or Ricard on the field may signal what the Ravens are trying to do on a particular play, and I don't even care, because I don't think that Miami can stop it easily in either case. If you have Mitchell on the field, you're playing misdirection football. Then the ball might go to Mitchell, it might go to Henry, Lamar may keep it, but that's three different ways the ball may go, and there's almost no defense in the world that can stop a three-pronged attack like that. Have everybody play the assignment football they need to not screw it up. And then they have to win their one-on-one matchup that they get. And Lamar's reading which one-on-one matchup might really be good for that. At least he one of the last two, you know, when he's in the mesh point. So right. This is an exciting opportunity for the Ravens to really reestablish the run game. I think this is the week we probably see it, you know, go into fourth gear as opposed to third. So this is an opportunity. They should use it to fuel the passing game as well. Miami does have a couple of assets. They don't have great interior defenders. They do have Zach Sealer, who's having kind of a down year. But they have Jordan Brooks, the ex-Seahawks, having a fantastic year. So neutralizing him by block or misdirection will be a key. So if you don't remember, Jordan Brooks was an inside linebacker. He's taken, actually, I think, the pick before Patrick Queen in 2020. Didn't have a great career with the Seahawks, but he's a guy who has come into his own here in Miami and has got a very low miss tackle rate and a very high stops to miss tackle ratio. And I've talked about that. That's kind of the strikeout to walk ratio for inside linebackers, is how many defensive wins you generate relative to how many missed tackles do you have. So he's been very good. They'll have to figure him out. And the other thing they need to do is win snap count. It's not a good defensive line. If you get them a little tired too, they'll probably really start to give up some big holes on the line as the Ravens use any combination of gap or zone runs to make space.
Yep. And I think the pivotal point is, when we go against those eight-man boxes, we're not trying to call a professional team practice, but we have to continue to get good at those reps against those stacked boxes with Ricard and Henry on the field, because at the end of the day, we have to run against those fronts unless we do like a one receiver play action with a tight end and out in the route. But I want to see an emphasis on the run game, like you said, and then also continue to see if maybe we can see the pony backfield, but how much more of a benefit do you think it is to having that many assets in the backfield? Even though, I mean, what do you think?
Because I'm tremendously in favor of pony backfield. I think if you put the three of them on the field at once, and it's Lamar, Henry, Mitchell, that's the ultimate three-pronged misdirection attack. If you put Mitchell on alone with Ricard, or Henry alone with Ricard, it becomes a point of attack offense. Now, last week they had a point of attack offense, and they ran into some 7 and 8 man boxes, and they didn't have the kind of advantage they have. Henry didn't have a great running game either, but when they ran into those heavy boxes, they didn't have the threat of Lamar Jackson escaping out the back door that had to be taken care of. They just had Tyler Huntley on the field. So everything changes with the return of Lamar in terms of what an 8 man box really is capable of against the Ravens if he's on the field.
Fair. So moving on to my next point, I have the Ravens wide receivers, or the Ravens pass catchers, versus the Dolphins DBs. This is a homecoming game for Zay Flowers. I know a lot of people continue to make noise about Lamar coming home to Florida, but I think that should be pretty much over by now. I mean, this is his third trip back to Florida, so this is his first trip for Zay Flowers. Reportedly, he should have around 40 family members at the game, so I think he's going to be a very emphasized takeaway for Miami. They're probably going to try and make sure that they don't get beat on the ends, on the over routes by Zay, because really no one can keep up with him. I think it's going to be on Todd Monken to scheme him open. On the first drive where they ran Zay in a motion across the formation and ran a quick out. Yes, it was short for the first down, but those kind of designs where you get him on the move, you can get him in space already so he can make easy catches and make easy windows for the quarterback. Love to see that for more from that. And then also to continue to see more timing routes going to Bateman. On the touchdown, first touchdown drive run by Derrick Henry, there was a crucial catch by Bateman on 3rd and 19, 3rd and 20, where they were really backed up. I mean, he grabbed that up off the carpet. So Bateman showing his worth on those timing routes, really making sure he's getting back for his quarterback. Want to see him used more. But then also we have to sprinkle in Keaton Mitchell with the speed. And then let's see if we can get Wester and Flowers on some jet sweeps to really make it an issue for the defense.
Yeah, this may be a game, unfortunately, where Tez Walker sits out, and they showed really, I think, very healthily a decision to move away from a lot of special teams value in their actives last week. They sat Sanusi Kane and Tez Walker, who are two of their best special teams players, nominally, at least. And that's a big sacrifice to make, but they did it for players like Keaton Mitchell, who's an offensive threat. I'm happy to see them do that. There is a limit to how much of that they're going to be willing to do. I think Tez Walker and Kane could again be inactive this week, but I wouldn't expect that they made sacrifices to other people. And by the way, the fall off of Sanusi Kane is a extraordinary thing. I mean, he's the third safety really establishing himself that way in camp. A lot of people thought, you know, the Ravens wouldn't have a problem putting him on as a split field safety. I never honestly was completely buying that. But the Ravens also didn't address the position. Then Lowry won the job as the split safety. Started a game there, played the entire game. Kane has just never been an option they've turned to as a split safety. Yeah. In fact, they traded for Gilman, their best pass rusher to get Gilman as a way to shore up that safety core.
Yeah, it's been interesting the way they've addressed it. Bill Brade is not a part of the picture. They released, Lowry, G-A-D. Right?
No, Lowry they released, yes.
Yeah, they released Lowry after one bad game, which is really, I mean, have you seen that from them just dropping off a rookie, just like, I mean, yeah, a rookie at the end of the day, undrafted rookie, but I've never seen them move off away from a player just like.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
We've all done it. Stock our fridge with leafy greens and good intentions, only to have our future self sacrifice quality nutrition for the convenience of takeout. Keep your body and mind nourished all day with a whole body meal shake from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But the best part? It actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood-packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai, to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you've got endless ways to personalize your Kachava. Whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee, with every 2 scoops of Kachava, you're getting 85 plus superfoods, nutrients, and plant-based ingredients. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags with code FITNESS at kachava.com. That's 30% off for a limited time at kachava.com, code FITNESS.
Like that, after one bad performance.
It was a little strange. I think Lowry got picked up too when he was cut, like the Colts or somebody picked him up.
Okay.
So he didn't make it through the practice squad, but the Ravens probably were planning on that working out and him still to be around. But the Colts, I think, it was actually Dallas. He had his interception against the preseason, but he wasn't bad against the Colts either. And they had both a practice to look at him and then the game as well. So they had multiple opportunities there.
Fair.
So you talked about the pass catchers versus the Miami DBs. I think you hit on a lot of the important stuff. Do want to see, I mean, the cornerbacks for Miami, they're not quite as bad as Chicago because they have Russell Douglas still, who's pretty good, but they do not have much in the way of assets at cornerback that are healthy right now. And this is a game where you really want to use Lamar's legs a little bit to help have some slower developing routes. And the big one is any kind of crossing route that involves Zay Flowers has been uncoverable this season.
Yep.
You could do a little bit more in terms of having players like Likely or Bateman find space on an extended play too.
Yes.
So there are good options for the Ravens. There's good play action opportunities over the middle of the field to get behind Jordan Brooks and in front of the safety with either Andrews or Likely to make hay there. And there's always a good opportunity to get Hopkins because it doesn't matter if he's covered one-on-one and there's never more than one guy covering him. that's the kind of the beauty of having him.
That was a nice third down play call. I mean, they really just ISO'd him on outside and just said, F it. If he can make the play, he can make the play.
Yeah, that's the beauty of the X and the space budget that's assigned to that player. There's really nothing else the defense can do on that except try and play aggressive man-to-man defense. It was a good solid back shoulder throw. Hopkins, you know, had a big time push-off on the play.
Yeah.
but still.
Veteran push-off, we'll call it that.
That's what we'll call it, yeah. We've seen some of that from both him and OBJ when he was here in terms of being a both a penalty magnet, which, you know, the guy, he's getting beaten up by Moses Malone in the post play after play down there. There's probably a lot of people who don't understand who Moses Malone is anymore that might be listening to this. Moses Malone, he was the original LeBron James who went to the NBA at age 18, skipped college entirely, and was really, really sucked for Maryland here because Maryland was one of the teams that had a really good chance to get him. And he would have established Maryland's program in a big way. But, you know, he went on to play for a number of years, the 76ers and the Wizards for a while. And he was a guy who he had the most incredible act of getting beaten up on the post whenever he was in there. So that's what I'm talking about when I talk about either Hopkins or OBJ and just how they're always getting the crap beaten out of them. They don't have any physical advantages over these stronger, younger players. Please, Mr. Referee, protect me. Yeah, but anyway.
Yeah, like when OBJ dragged Stingley down.
Yes, right on top of himself. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the savageness you need at the receiver position. I mean, you have to make those little plays go your way in order for – I mean, those are 15-yard penalties. They're at the goal line, yard penalties. So it's big. I mean, I like that Hopkins is exploiting that. I mean, if he's covered, he's not covered.
Yeah. Hopkins has been a really good acquisition for the Ravens. He's been every bit worth a dollar. And hopefully, you know, in the future, they'll go for acquisitions like this that make sense fiscally and aren't, you know, these wallet busters that don't seem to have any sense to them at all, like the OBJ deal. OBJ had a solid year, probably every bit as good as what Hopkins is going to turn in this year for the team. But in terms of the, you know, price value, edge. It was a third of the value. You know, it's ridiculous. So, yeah. All right, let me move on to my last point, which is the Ravens offensive tackles and their set and chip blockers versus the edge rushers of the Miami Dolphins. They have a number of things that they need to do to generate help for both Stanley and Rosengarten. Rosengarten had a good game, by the way, this last week, and he's had three good games this season. He's probably been, now I would say, the best Ravens lineman in aggregate over the season so far, but he's had a lot of variation in his play. Stanley had a very solid game this last week. I kind of felt bad charting him for three pressures, but I want to stay consistent to my methodology here. He actually had a couple of those three where I thought it was really close to not being a pressure, and he ended up getting a C grade. But if you're the kind of person that PFF would grade him as two of those at least as not pressures, then he'd have a solid B for the game. So it wasn't he had his best game since week one without question anyway, and that was really good to see. And I don't know if you saw he went down for a play and he was really sprawling on the ground. It looked to me like the what actually happened to him is he got kicked in the groin.
Okay.
It wasn't an ankle injury at all. They're talking, they probably don't want to get into the fact that it's a groin injury. They probably want to talk about it being an ankle injury. He was limited with an ankle this week, but that's just kind of a rest day thing. I don't believe he's really got an ankle problem at this point or not. The ankle problem is probably less serious at this point. The acute problem right there at that moment on the field, which was causing him to be there, was he took a big knee right to the groin. And you could one thing to look at, look at who's out there and look at what they're doing. But they didn't have their hands on him at all. They were just kind of talking to him because there's nothing they can do. You know, the guy's lost his breath from getting kicked to the balls. There's nothing you could do about that.
And then one highlight that I point out from Rosengarten is when him and Bateman had a combination block up the field on one of Henry's longer runs in the red zone. I don't know. It was like poetry in motion. They both climbed on the same guy and then split into the two defenders coming at Henry, and they both made like a hole. I mean, it was in the first quarter. I don't know if you remember that, but it was a nice combination block by him and Bateman.
Rosengarten, you're saying, had the combination block then?
Exactly. Yep. Up in the all second right. level.
So there is, okay. Now this may be the play you're talking about. It's a 10-yard run right before the touchdown. Rosengarten had two blocks in level two on that play, which is very unusual. So he pulled
that play.
He pulled and he had two blocks in level two.
Yeah, Bateman had that. They had a block right next to him, which is really cool to see.
All right. Let me talk about the Ravens' offensive tackles and the set and chip blockers versus the edge rushers. Few things that the Ravens need to do better. They need to be quicker to deliver help outside when there's a guard bubble. Okay, so on a lot of plays, the guard doesn't really have a blocking assignment in a standard four-man pass rush. But that doesn't mean that the tackle isn't struggling with the edge rusher on his side. And so he needs to quickly go through a process of doing three things. Look to see if his center needs help. Oftentimes he does that by feel, where he's got his arm on the center. If we're talking Falele, let's assume he's got his left arm on Linderbaum to start the play, and his extension is pretty good, so he can keep an eye on that. He kind of scans to see if there's any stunts. He stands to see if there's any blitzes that he needs to pick up. And then he has to get over quickly for the help block. And there's, you know, we're only talking about something that's got about 2.5 seconds in total to do. Obviously, a lot of the Falele highlights that have been bantied around on Twitter are of him being seemingly indecisive in such situations. I would agree that's been a weakness of his. Yep. I think he's been okay overall, but I think that's been a pretty significant weakness. And he needs to be quicker to deliver help to the outside. And we've seen some Ravens guards be outstanding with it. That's just not that he hasn't been particularly good with that in his career so far. The other thing that if we're looking at the individual Miami edge rushers, we have Bradley Chubb, who's out there. He's got four sacks, but he's got a very low pressure rate this year. So that's something that he's converted a lot of his pressures into sacks. And I'm not saying he's not dangerous. He still is, but he's a fraction, a shadow of the player he was when he came to Baltimore and tore his ACL in that 2023 game. So he needs to be taken care of, but he is a guy you can single up on. And when you don't single up on him, you know, get an extra chip block on him, that might be enough. Chop Robinson, they drafted him last year. He's a guy a lot of people had mocked to the Ravens. He started very slow this year, but he's been delivering pressure in about the last 3 weeks. So he's a guy they need to watch out for. Matthew Judon at this point in his career is really just an early down edge setter. He's not really a pass rusher at all. He's played about half his snaps on rundowns, which tells you that he's primarily in there on early downs. And then Jalen Phillips, who a lot of people think the Ravens should pick up at the trade deadline, he's been having a lot of trouble finishing. So he's been more like the Owe of their team with 3 sacks in the last 12 games, but he's generating a lot of pressure. And he's on the trade block. He's a guy I think the Ravens, you know, would be a pretty good idea for them to go after him if the price is right. I'd be excited about seeing him in Baltimore. They don't have any significant interior defensive line pass rush threat. Zach Sealer is the best of them. He's having a down year, and he was the Dolphins MVP last year. Zach Sealer.
Wow,
that's incredible to me still. But
tells you about Ozzie's 2018 draft.
What a draft it was, and they have a player like Sealer they can't even keep on the 53.
That was tough.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So anything else about the pass rush you want to talk about? That's pretty much all the points I wanted to make.
Oh, yeah. So for the pass rush, I mean, it's – I think the Ravens – this is not a test, but it's going to be a – let's see if we can continue to keep the momentum going from the Bears game. Handle the pass rush that was presented to us last week. I think they handled it well. Really, it was only that real big bull rush that Voorhees gave up the middle to Tyler Huntley on that sack. Other than that, it was a pretty decent game. They made holes for the running game that was it was really good, especially in the first quarter when they're really gearing up for the run. They made the holes really necessary to spring Henry for the touchdown run. So good to see that. I think this game, we can continue to build on that. Like you said, they have a couple guys, some guys that have been not in and out of lineup, but have been inconsistent. I think we could feast on that and potentially play 5-man protection on a couple plays and get away with it and let Lamar cook.
Yeah, there are lots of ways that the Ravens can win this game. Lots of ways. But they've got to leverage all of these different advantages they have, whether it's in the run game, in the pass game, just playing balanced offense should be one of the biggest advantages they could possibly have. I do expect Miami defensively is going to gamble to get pressure and contain the run at the same time, which means we're going to see a lot of bodies in the backfield, and they're going to force Lamar to beat him with his arm after he's been off for a couple of weeks. And he's going to have to do that. He's going to have to prove he can do that. All right. Frazier, always a pleasure doing the show with you. Tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
You guys can reach me at Twitter/X at F_Rave8. That's F_RAVE8.
All right. We have a mini bye week coming up. There's always a possibility of doing a film study short or two. If you're passionate about a topic and want to talk to me about it, hit me up with a DM on Twitter. I'll get in touch with you and we'll talk through how that might be a good episode and what we could do. Usually the prep time for these, by the way, is very short, and in part because I'm only looking for about 15 or 20 minutes of discussion. This should be something that's a quick back and forth of a few exchanges, and we put out some shorter content to hopefully get some people who are a little intimidated, frankly, by the 1 hour shows to listen into a 15 or 20 minute show, and hopefully your passion will show through with that. Also, make use of hashtag film study mailbag for any of the shows you want. We've got the trade deadline coming up. Voss and I will be talking about that. Brian McFarland and I will also be talking about it. So we want to hear your questions with regard to the trade deadline. For Frazier Tapar, this is Ken McCusick saying goodbye, and we'll talk to you next time on Matchups.
DC politicians want to enact harmful credit card mandates that could take away your cash back and rewards points, perks that stretch your budget and make life a little easier. Losing these benefits means less money for your family's everyday essentials like gas and groceries. The perks you rely on could disappear, leaving you with higher costs and fewer options. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.